Yesterday we were looking at Psalm number 8, and the specific verse we were looking at, the first two verses read, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2 is what we focused on. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And we were talking about that. You know, that's kind of strange verbiage. In the Amplified Bible, it says, out of the mouths of babes and the unweaned infants, you've established strength, and then it goes on as well. And Jesus actually quotes this in Matthew. He quotes that very section, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. He quotes it, but he actually says praise, and that's another whole thing to talk about. But the fact that Jesus is talking about that, what does it mean out of the mouths of infants, out of the mouths of babies? What does that mean? How does that apply to us? It's one of those verses that's easy for us to kind of, okay, well, that sounds good, and it sounds very biblical, but it doesn't really mean anything in my life. Well, no, this is a great word of encouragement. It's a great truth for us. The realization that we have to come to is even if, and this we talked about yesterday, even if you feel like in your life you're weak, even if you feel discouraged because you feel like your walk, your spiritual walk is weak, even if you feel like your faith is really small, you can still be encouraged. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, in talking about mere infants in Christ, and this is exactly what this word is talking about. The encouraging news is, the good news is, it doesn't matter where you're at in faith. You can look at someone else and say, wow, that person has the kind of faith. I don't think I could ever have that kind of faith. And you feel so weak by comparison. Well, the good news is the Jesus Christ that is in them is the same Christ that is in you. It's not me that matters. It's the Christ that is in me that matters. And so what we see here, when we look at this word, out of the mouths of babes and the unweaned, you have established strength. If you're speaking the word of God, it doesn't matter how strong you feel you are. Always wrong to go by feelings anyway. It doesn't matter how strong or how weak you feel. If you're speaking the word of God, there is strength that is coming out of you because it is the strength of the word of God. Now, I've got to believe it when I speak it. There has to be some faith that's put to it. But if you feel like you're spiritually weak and your walk, your spiritual walk is just weak by comparison because you look at other people, change your perspective and change your outlook on yourself and where you're at. You're equal to the strongest, most mature Christian because of who is in you, not because of you, because of who is in you. It's not me that makes the difference in me. All I got to do is just believe what the word says. It's not you that makes the difference. All you've got to do is believe the word and speak the word. It's the word and the power of the word. It's Christ in you that makes the difference. If you look at yourself and you feel like you're coming up short and you feel like, well, I could never be like whomever you're looking at and saying, I can never walk a walk like that person. Yeah, you absolutely can. Your spiritual walk is dependent simply upon knowing who is in you. You're equal to the strongest, most mature Christian. You know, Jesus even said this when he was talking about John the Baptist. And he said, you know, before John, there is up till this moment, there has not been anyone born of a woman that is greater than John the Baptist. So he's basically saying all the people of the Old Testament and all the great things that you saw done by Moses and Abraham and Elijah and all David, all of that you saw, and Jesus is saying, hey, there's none that's greater than John the Baptist. And then he goes on to say, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than even John the Baptist. It's not because of the individual, it's because of the Christ that is in us. An infant is as much of a child of the parent as the full-grown adult is. Even if you feel like you're small and you're weak, even if you feel like you're just an infant compared to others, the good news is you're still a child of God. He still is in you. You are as much a child as the full-grown adult would be. We think of things in degrees, and we think of ourselves as being saved, if you will, in degrees. We're not saved in degrees. You're saved. You are totally saved. Christ is in you. Now let's go and look at some more of these verses from Psalm chapter 8. Verse number 3 says, when I view and consider your heaven, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained and established. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of the earth-born man that you care for him? So here's the psalmist looking at, and here's David saying, look, I look at creation. I look at what you've done, what you've created, what you've established. And David felt pretty small by comparison. What is man that you're mindful of him? You've got to keep all these stars and all the galaxies and everything in motion and working and operating in the universe, functioning from the greatest things down to the quantum mechanics level, the smallest things, all working together and held together and established by him. And David said, in looking at the scheme of all these things, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of an earth-born man that you care for him. Verse number 5 says, yet you've made him a little lower than God or heavenly beings. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. Now, this is both a dual. This is both talking about the coming Christ. But it's also talking about what Jesus was. When Jesus came to earth, Jesus became a man. He became God in the flesh. He became a man just like you and I. He became a person. He became flesh just like you and I. He was God in this flesh. So he came, and as a man, he reestablished. He took authority back. He reestablished the dominion, and he took dominion over all those things, and he gave that dominion because he did it as a man. He gave that dominion back to man, back to you and I through him. Verse 7 said, all sheep, oxen, yes, even the beasts of the field. Verse 8, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, majestic, and glorious is your name in all the earth. See, while David is talking about these things, and in part it's referring to Jesus Christ, well, it's directly referring to Jesus Christ, but it's also directly referring to you because, again, Jesus did these things as a man. Jesus did away with the old covenant, and he brought in, he established that new covenant. And the right to covenant, the right to covenant promises is not dependent on the level of growth that's in you. You can look at yourself and you can say that I'm too weak, my faith is too weak, my walk is too weak, I'm not spiritually strong. And when we tell ourselves those things, what we wind up doing is not even trying. What we wind up doing is turning away from that spiritual walk and just walking through life because we can see that, we can perceive it, we can understand it. But we lose all that spiritual aspect because we feel like we're too weak. So we don't even dwell upon, we don't even focus on that. It's something that's off to the side. It's not a relevant part of most of our day. It's somewhere in the background. And that's why so often we wind up living powerless lives. And that's why so often we wind up walking in through our lives, not just powerless, but defeated and overcome. Because we believe that we're too weak. We believe that we're too strong. We don't see who we are in Christ. Again, if you're saying to yourself that your walk, your spiritual walk is too weak, if you're saying to yourself that you are just too weak as an individual, you're too weak, in your faith, all that you need is already in you. Everything you need is already in you. Now, the choice is up to you and I as to what we do with that. But everything that you need to walk as an overcomer, to become like, and to see the results, that you look at other people and you see the supernatural, you see the amazing results, you see things turn around, where supernaturally you see their bodies that were broken or sick, made whole, reestablished, healed. When you see those who are struggling financially and yet the situation turns around, when you see those who are in a situation, whether it's at the workplace, maybe their jobs, things look entirely hopeless, but you see it all turn around, and all of a sudden where they look like they were going to be crushed, now they're on top walking victoriously. You see those things, and these are the things that you look at, and you say, well, that's the way that those super saints are. That's not me. That's not my life. It is you, because it's who's in you. The covenant that you have is not dependent upon the level of your growth. Now, don't misunderstand me. We do need to stretch our faith. We need to grow. But that all starts with the simple fact of knowing and believing that the Word of God is in us and the Word Jesus Christ is in us. And it is Him. It's not me. It's Him. the right to covenant promises is not dependent upon your level of growth. All you have to do is believe. You may not be at the same level of growth as, you know, some of the ministers and preachers that you see on TV or listen to on the radio. You may not be at that same level, but the covenant that you have is the same covenant. And the covenant power, that same covenant power that you see demonstrated, is right now dwelling within you. It's not dependent upon your level of growth. Everything that you need is already yours. You're as rich as the richest person, as far as possessions of the things of Jesus Christ. We talked last week about the least of the least. You know, and then in the I was with my father last week, and we were looking in the Hostetler book, and even that person who was the least in the book, who had only been alive. This is looking at the Hostetlers. If you go way, way back, you know, my lineage goes all the way back to, in this country, to 1737 with Jacob Hostetler. This book, particular book, was looking at multiple generations after that, Noah Hostetler, and it branches off from there. So from 1840, roughly, is where this book was looking at. And this book, which is like 75 or 100 pages long, it's nothing more than, as I said yesterday, a listing of Hostetlers, you know, those who came before me, and those who are on the, you know, the different branches that went off in different directions. And the thing that was amazing to me was even those who were young and didn't even live their lives, maybe they died at like 3 months, yet their names were there and they were listed. You know, they were in the book. They were part of the family. You are listed in the book. You are listed in the family of Jesus Christ because of the decision you made to accept the work, the sacrificial work that he did for you. You're in the family of Jesus Christ, and you have as much power and authority as any other member of the body of Christ. Rather than being depressed with life, rather than being discouraged, we should be walking triumphantly, walking in the triumph of him, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14, we should be triumphing in him in all situations and all circumstances. You should. If you're walking through life and you're feeling like you're too weak, you're too strong, those things never happen to you, change your perspective and change your frame of mind this morning and know that you have within you the covenant that you are under, the covenant that is that you have with Jesus Christ, that covenant power and all those promises of the covenant, they are just as much in you as they are in any other person. So stop looking at yourself as too weak. Because it's not you. It's who is in you. It's the Holy Spirit that is in you. It's the Christ that dwells within you. This is where the power is, and it's in you. So rather than going through your life and being overcome and being depressed, we should be walking triumphantly. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6, you are seated right now. You are seated. You are seated with him in those heavenly places. This is what it says in Hebrews. See if I can find this really fast. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2. Hebrews 1, 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made all the worlds. Jesus is the heir of all things. And the word tells us in Romans, it tells us that we are joint heirs with him. He is the heir of all things. Everything that is good, everything that is all that you need, everything that you need for your life today, it's his. He's the heir to all of those things. And you are joint heirs with him. Joint. That means you have equal possession to those things. Not because of you, not because of your strength, not because of the strength of your walk, not because of how great you have been, has absolutely nothing to do with you other than you believed. You believe in the Christ that is in you, and you believe what Jesus did. You believe in the covenant. You believe. If you believe, you have all the power. Well, it doesn't matter. You have the power, whether you believe it or not. You have the power. But if you believe, you will see that power moving through you in just exactly the same way. So let's read those verses again from verse 5. You've made him a little lower than God or the heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. This is David saying, why would you honor mankind? Why would you honor flesh? Well, he honors man, he honors flesh, because he created us and he loves us. And he's able to honor us because Jesus Christ, God himself, became flesh and overcame all things for our behalf. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet. This is who you are because of what Jesus Christ did. You now have dominion over all the works, over all the works of his hand. That means you've got dominion over all the things in this world. You, through Christ, have dominion over all these things. So why am I letting other things have dominion in my life? Why am I letting sickness? Why am I letting discouragement? Why am I letting depression? Why am I letting my bank account? Why am I letting things, addictions? Why am I letting my job? Why am I letting anything have dominion over me? You have made him. God, you have made him. He's talking about mankind through Christ. This is a small h here. You have made him, mankind, to have dominion over all the works of your hands. He did that through Jesus Christ. He has made you and I to have dominion over all the works of his hands, all the works. You've put all things under his feet. This is the way that we need to see ourselves today. If you look at yourself and you say that I'm too weak, my walk is too weak, I'm spiritually not strong enough, I tell you today that all that you need is already in you as a believer. If you've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted that he died for your sins, that you needed a Savior, and he died for your sins, and he rose again, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, if you believe this, then everything that you need is already invested in you. It's in you. The power is not dependent. It's not your power. It's his power. But it's his power that is in you.